This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I am with my friend Sean Bowles, and I'm Bob Hassan. Sean, what are we doing on the show today?
You know, we have an incredible guest named Lauren Furtado, who lost her husband to suicide, but it was a catalyst to recreate her whole life and mission. She has two kids, so she's a widow and a single mother now. And her story, Bob, is phenomenal. And I just think our viewers, you guys are going to love her. Also, you and I are going to be talking in our Real Talks. We're going to be talking about most people go through a period of wanting to recreate their career. They're calling it the mid-career crisis. Mm-hmm. And in our generation, as of 2022, upwards of 99% of people in America are going through a mid-career crisis. 99%, Bob, you're over 35, are going through it. So this is something that's happened. It's happening. You might be experiencing it yourself. And we're going to define that a little bit and take our viewers and listeners on a journey about that.
That's going to be an interesting topic. Well, here we have some listener feedback. Debbie on Discord, which is one of our platforms, wrote this: I was a marketplace kingdom plant my whole career, and I love that Bob and Sean do this podcast as well. We need Christians in every facet of the marketplace. We need light shining in the darkness, redemption and the love of God brought to the marketplace and the masses there. Debbie, thank you so much. And to everyone else, we love all your comments on our content. Make sure to share with us how this show is affecting your life and impacting it. It means the world to us.
Yeah, and subscribe on YouTube and make sure to comment with us here. We want to start the conversation down in YouTube. And what Debbie's saying, even though it's a reflection of what we're already talking about on the show, it means so much that she's reflecting it back to our viewers and our audience and our listeners and taking the time to write feedback like that, because it helps to keep the conversation going right now.
Well, Sean, let's go into real topics.
You know, I'm taking some things out of a couple different articles I read, and one was Inc. It was an article a while back, and it was so shocking because research showed that 99% of people feel like they chose the wrong career path.
Wow.
And this is created after the pandemic and mass exodus of people out of all different types of careers that were not fulfilling, they weren't paying enough, or maybe they just were in too controlled of an environment. They realized they didn't want to be controlled anymore. I have to go into the office? No, thanks. So that was one of the themes. And the Harris poll in 2021 found that 47% of older millennials aged 33 through 40 felt like they made the wrong career choice. They're calling it a mid-career life crisis. Mm. And it seems like people are really questioning their career decisions. And so we're going to talk about this. But I wanted to say, you know, many people who are Christians are going through this as well. And Elliot Jacques, I don't know how to say it in a French way, but he's a psychoanalyst who coined the term midlife crisis back in 1965. And I had never heard this before, Bob, but he was pointing not to middle-aged patients who have extramarital affairs or need to buy like a special car or whatever to make their ego feel good. He was actually talking about the creative lives of artists like Michelangelo and others who felt unfulfilled by their previous work and had this like gaping pit where they had to do something new and different for fulfillment. So it was actually kind of a positive connotation. Like if you go through this, it's because it's time to recreate yourself. And somehow in the 80s and 90s, people started to use this as a free pass to do really immoral things. And so I think it's really powerful that we look at a mid-career crisis through the lens of faith, because through faith, it says in 2 Timothy 2:20, in a large house, there's articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special or noble purposes, some for common use. And those who cleanse themselves from the common ones can be instruments for noble purposes made holy and useful to the master. And right after is the scripture, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, and love and peace. And I think there's something about when we go through mid-career crisis or midlife crisis, it's because God's preparing us for even greater works or greater things. It's not because we're at the end. We've done all that we can. We've done all the best things in life. And now what's left? You know, like Solomon, and there's nothing new under the sun. It actually should be a catalyst for a recreation.
Yeah, it's interesting as we talk about this. I think we're talking about two issues, because a mid-career crisis is, let's say, somebody who's been at work for 15 to 20 years. And have they lost passion? The first thing that I think is, have they lost passion? Have they lost goals? Have they lost desire or drive? And I think for all of us, we need to have goals in front of us that we can keep moving forward and keep climbing in everything that we're learning in order for our jobs to become, to keep being exciting for us.
Yeah.
So I think about that. And then I think about people who think they chose the wrong career path.
Which is like the majority, which Bob is shocking.
Right. It's, well, 99% is a big number.
I know it was Inc. There's no one else who could verify that number, but yeah, it was at least 49% in other studies.
Yeah. So
it's half.
So I think when you're in that position, what I think about is if that really is something that you are thinking about over and over and over again, I know that people don't really like change. But if you hate your job or you think you're in the wrong career path, there's so many aptitude tests or personality tests that you can take to try to figure out, you know, where could I get retrained and if I'm going to change careers, what would I look at? I think people have so many expectations versus what reality is in a job. Yeah. I know that when you have, in the ministry, you hire people, they're saying, I want to work for the church. I want to be in the ministry. And then they get a job as a project manager or an executive assistant. And all they're doing are, you know, details and spreadsheets. And they just get so, so frustrated because they wanted to do ministry work. And so people's expectations sometimes don't match reality, which I know you see that a lot too, Sean.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I love the new movement of coaching, because people actually who are coaching, they're dealing with a lot of different people and a lot of different career paths. And mm-hmm. so some of the fantasy of what something can be can get knocked out of you as you're talking to a coach, and yeah. you can kind of identify, is this really what I want? Like, I've talked to people in the past, the last person I was coaching, they just wanted to be a writer so bad and be a podcaster. And I said, well, the majority of podcasters have 100 people who listen to their podcasts. That's the average numbers for a good podcast for the rest of their time. So it's not a full-time career. So you're going to have to do something else. And then the majority of authors right now, I think it's up to 97%, don't make money at all. So mm-hmm. Neither one of those are a career choice. Those are passion choices. And so what are you going to do to supplement that passion? And I know you've said it. I know mm-hmm. we've had people on the show say it, which is if you have 40-hour career work week, that might be so you can do your passions in the other 40 hours of, you know, it's free time that you have. Yes. It's not necessarily going to be the 40 hours a week. And I think that's really important for the younger generation to hear, do only what you're passionate about, because the reality is that you're going to do a lot of work that you're not passionate about. Now, saying that though, I think after coronavirus or after traumas period, we all recreate ourselves. There's all of a sudden certain things just don't pass anymore. Like for Sheree and I, we're like, we don't want to ever go into the office for 35 or 40 hours again. That's not who we are as people. And when our employees had to go home, we're like, you're going to stay home. And they loved it. They absolutely loved it. They were like, this is great. We're on Zoom all the time, the whole thing. I didn't see some of our employees for 2 years after the shutdown because I saw them all the time online, but we didn't see each other in person. And some of them moved and started working remotely, really remotely. And I was like, I love this. Like, it changed the way that we operated. And I remember having a conversation a year before where one of our employees was like, can I work remotely like one day a week? And we're like, no, that scared us. You have to be here. You have to, if you're not here, we're not gonna be able to be like synergized. And we're so the opposite now, where people are like, can we have one day a month where we work together? And we're like, no. Yeah. It's too much. So I do think that people change the way they want to work, and also some of the goals and how we work together change. You have all these skyscrapers on the major cities that are empty right now because businesses don't work out of them anymore. So a lot of things change in whether our needs, our desires, or what we felt was important before are no longer important. And on top of that, when you deal with people who have the significance issues of, I don't want to be a teacher, and that's what I thought I was supposed to be, and I have a degree now, what do I do? And they feel shame connected to that because they pursued something for years that not only doesn't bring fulfillment, but they're like, it's against the grain of who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that God is so good. There's a scripture, Bob, that you and I read beforehand that I love. It says in Psalm 16 verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. I mean, that's such a great scripture. If you're a Christian, you get a God result. So if you're struggling with this and you're a Christian, he will, it may take time and be patient with yourself, but he's going to make known your path of life.
Yeah. And I think like, right. The next scripture is being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. And what that says to me is, no matter where you are, whether you love your job, whether you want to change careers, whether you don't have passion about it, you know, these scriptures can really help. But there's some practical things we can do, Sean. And I think, you know, there are ways to get our career back on track or choose a new one. And, you know, you and I, the first one that you and I talk about this all the time, pray and have close friends pray with you for you. Don't be embarrassed that you're going down this sense. You know, a high percentage of people will go through it too. What we mean by this is that be in community and don't be isolated and talk to the people who care the most about you, because they will help you through, you know, not only this type of decision, but any decision in your life.
Yeah, and there's a lot of practicals, and I think a coach can give people the practical steps. So I encourage you, if you can, hire a business coach, hire a career coach, go to a career counselor. And that's something that's so important, to go to somebody who actually, this is in the wheelhouse of who they are. Because sometimes you can go to a friend, Bob, I'm sure you've done this or you've watched someone do this. And you go, like when I said, I want to move to LA and start a church. And people were like, why? People who love me the most.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that sound like a good thing? They're like, no, LA sounds terrible. And I hate LA and you should hate LA. And why would you want to be a pastor of a church? And I'm like, so sometimes you listen to people and they're talk to friends and they just don't have vision or faith for what you're capable of or what God would want through you because of their own biases. But that's why it's important. If you hit that, that's not your wall. That's just a hurdle and you could jump over it. And I've had to jump over hurdles too. But I think doing a self-assessment to look at your passions and your desires, your interests, and there's books that can help you do that as well. Do self-assessments and then get some skill development. I mean, the thing right now that everybody needs is people who are skilled. I mean, the Bible says a man who's skilled is going to work before kings. I mean, it's like if you have skills and you actually hone your skills, whether it's, you know, maybe you wanted to be the writer. Well, be in the writer world by being an editor or being a copy editor or being a ghostwriter or something where you actually make money in that field and then do your passion projects on top of it. And I think that that's so much of what we think we have to accomplish. We see ourselves at the end of the journey with the biggest accomplishments we'll achieve. And we think that those are going to take all 40 hours of work we have for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. And when those actually are just a project by project, those might be a project every 5 to 10 years that bring that level of fulfillment and that level of what we consider glory. But every day we're walking with God. Every day is important.
I remember, Sean, we interviewed on Exploring the Marketplace a man who helped people find jobs. And he said, I'm going to tell you the number one thing in this economy right now that you can do to get hired immediately. Tell your prospective employer that you want to work in the office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
this is current. Yeah.
And it was just so, to me, you know, growing up and being in business for so long, well, of course you want to be in the office, but since the pandemic and since all these things that have happened, and when we read the Wall Street Journal, all we see is these CEOs fighting to get their employees back in the office. Yeah. So if you're out looking for a job or out changing careers, you know, tell your prospective employers that you want to be in the office, you want to show up for work, and that's going to really help.
Well, we want to hear from you. And if you're in a mid-career crisis, we want to pray for you. So make sure to leave a comment on our YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment. We'll be with you in the comment section, not just now, but even in future watchers, future viewers in the future. We're going to be commenting and answering your questions and praying with you. I just believe it's so important that this generation is going through so much change, and we want to be a support for each other. But we have a question of the week, Bob. We have a question, and I love this question because I think so many Christians are wondering this question. Now, some of our audience may be past this question already, but some of you, this is still your question. And Praveen asked this. He says, I often see how running the race looks like for like a full-time minister. He called it a five-fold minister, but a full-time minister. It usually looks like expanding their ministry, reaching more people, et cetera. I would love to hear how career business person's life calling looks like. I know part of it's to maybe preach and witness and partner to ministries and those kinds of things. but how does God's calling look like for a career path believer? And you and I have answered this in our book that we wrote, Wired to Hear. But I just love your answer, your take on there's no separation between sacred and secular. So talk about this.
Yeah, there is no separation between sacred and secular. And I think one of the things that I've learned in, you know, all my years in business and consulting with businesses is believers feel like when they go to work, they have to evangelize and evangelize the whole company. And, you know, Sean, we've talked about this over and over. If I'm paying an employee, I'm paying an employee, number one, to produce and to hit metrics and to be a good cultural team player. So what I believe is that, you know, let our light shine before us and let people look at us and think, why is that person different? Rather than evangelize, you know, take coworkers to coffee and get to know them and ask them questions and see, hey, can I pray for you? And, you know, as you build relationships. So I think the answer to this question is whether you're full-time ministry or you're full-time at work, the calling is the same. The calling is to let your character shine before men. Let your light shine before men, and really just do the best job you can for Jesus.
Yeah, representing Christ. I think it's such a great answer because I think it's so practical. I think a lot of people don't feel like God will give them the same anointing for a career as God gives a pastor to plant a church. And the reality is that God gives his grace and blessings for whatever. I mean, he thought of us, as it says in Ephesians, before time began, for good works we would do. Yeah. And 98% of people, if not more, are not called to full-time ministry. So those good works cannot be just the ministry-oriented works. They're all the things we're called to do, whether it's family, marriage, career, creative endeavors, humanitarian endeavors, all the things that we get to do in our lifetime, that God's prepared us for those things and prepared those things for us. And so thriving in our Christ-likeness in the midst of all that we do is worship. I think that's so important. I love the question though, Praveen. Thank you so much for asking the question. And if you have a question for Bob and I, please ask us either on our YouTube channel, or you could ask us in all the various ways that we get questions, whether it's through our social media. You can go to our website, bowlsministries.com, click on Ask a Question of Sean and Bob for Exploring the Marketplace, and ask your question. We want to hear from you. And these questions help to benefit so many people. We've had people in the past say, man, thank God they asked the same question I wanted to ask you. And so ask your question today, and we're excited to hear from you.
That's so good. Well, Sean, who's our guest today?
Well, our guest is Lauren Furtado, and I want to read a little bit about what she does, because she's a fractional CFO who's labeled as not your typical CPA. She spent 20 years in public accounting service with multi-billion dollar Fortune 100 companies. No big deal. But in the aftermath of the loss of her husband to suicide, she rebuilt her life as a widowed solo mother of two by starting her own fractional CFO services firm, grounded in faith. Like, she really got awakened to faith, and God led her into this, and grounded in family values as well. So she brings big company strategies to business owners to simplify their finances and enhance their growth and impact. And she's going to share about the loss of her husband and how it became the catalyst, both for her family's faith, but also for this incredible entrepreneurship endeavor, because this only happened just a couple of years ago, and she's wildly successful. So I love our next guest. You're going to want to hear from her.
Yep. Up next, we have Lauren Furtado.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on pray.com and podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for Exploring the Marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create
this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bulls team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back, Sean. We're here with our friend Lauren Furtado. Lauren, so good to be with you.
Yes, I appreciate it so much.
Lauren, you have such a fascinating story, and I can't wait to dive right into it, because you have this incredible business that was really inspired by a tragedy you went through, and you're a single mom and a widow, but at the same time, God just used this as a catalyst to do something that you probably would have never done in a different version of life, an alternate ending. So bring us on the journey that launched your business, and I know this is a hard one to talk about. Thanks for being on the show to even talk about it, because I think a lot of people will be able to relate to tragedy and how God can use it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. I will say my entrepreneurial journey has been a journey that has walked alongside my faith journey as well. Mm-hmm. So I truly, in my decision to start a business, found Christ as well. And it has been literally lighting the path for me. Awesome. I unexpectedly lost my husband in June of 2021 to suicide. Mm. And at that point, I hit such a low. I was so lost. I was in such deep grief, and I had two small children who were relying on me to step up and lead our family. And I quite literally was under a cross I could no longer bear on my own. I was on my knees just begging the Lord for help. And wow. I could clearly hear, like, I have been here waiting for you. I have been here waiting for you. And I always tell the story. My mother had been just looking at me in desperation of like, what can I do to help you? And my answer to her was, I need a Bible. I need a Bible. Like, I need to turn to the Word. I need to find God. And to be honest, up to that point, the 38 years I had lived, I didn't have a true relationship with Him. Wow. I was raised Catholic. And that for me wasn't about encouraging a relationship. It was about obligation. It was about compliance and guilt. So for me, I fell off from any religious ties as soon as I was out the door after college. And for me, starting my business was absolutely a catalyst with losing my husband. It was really two things driving that. I'll say one, the realization that like bad things can happen every day. And like, what do I want my life to look like? How do I want to spend every day? And for me, that's not just going through the motions of being busy every day with the tasks that I have on my list. It's not continuing my 9 to 5 and, you know, all the running around I need to do with the children. Like, I want to be grounded in my faith, and I want to be able to create impact for the community. Wow. And other people. And I was like, where do I find that?
Wow, that's such a powerful answer. I think, I know Bob has a question, but I just think like, what a drive towards like losing your husband and then seeing faith in the exact light it needs to be seen. And I think a lot of people, when they get saved, it's more like an emotional experience because they need comfort. But not only was God comforting you, but he was giving you a transformative viewpoint. He was like, your new creation version of you is like, how can I actually become the best version of myself instantly? And I just think that how fast that's happening and happened is so phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, I did need that comfort, right? It was so isolating experiencing the loss of your partner. You lose not only the person that ceases to exist, but the plans that you have when it's your partner that you have built your life with, right? Your husband is the person you're making decisions with financially as it relates to parenting. I mean, every decision, what house to buy, where to live, like, all of those plans ceased to exist. So I felt so lost that I did need comfort, but I also needed someone to walk with me forward. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it alone. And I knew that he was there. And to be honest, that resilience that he has given me and my decision to surrender every day and lean on that faith is the thing that got me through every single day.
Wow. Wow. How long were you married to him, and what were the qualities that you loved about him?
I love this because no one asks me about him. I appreciate that question in the depth of my heart because so often it is the aftermath. So Bob, I just want to say thank you for giving me this space.
I mean, I can just see in your face. I can just see in your face when you're talking about him. He must have just been amazing.
Yeah. So we were married for 7 years. And I always say, especially with the manner that he died and the mental illness that he was struggling with, I am so glad that I could give him 7 great years at the end of his life and give him 2 beautiful children. He was such a hard worker. And what I loved so much about Brett was you see him at face value. He's 6'5", covered in tattoos. He's in construction. You know, he's very rough around the edges, rides a Harley. You get to know him and he has the kindest heart that you can ever imagine. I will never forget going on the first date with him and just melting because of how sweetly he talked about his daughter. I have a soon to be 18-year-old stepdaughter with special needs, and the way that he spoke about her and that being his world, the work ethic that he had was just so admirable.
That's so awesome. I love that we carry people with us no matter how what their end was. And even if we don't fully understand it, it's like we carry the virtues and the qualities of what God gave us through those amazing relationships, the parts of them that were God transition on and become part of our bank account in our future for your children, for you. I think it's so important. But I want to get back into this because you say he was the catalyst and this experience the catalyst for starting a business from going to like a normal 9-to-5 to actually it swung you into high gear and you're doing something that I never had even heard of the term. So like talk about what you do and talk about how it was birthed.
Yeah, absolutely. So fractional CFOs, for those who don't know, it's providing CFO services for small businesses where you don't need someone full-time. You're kind of, I'll call it mid-sized, right? So you need the help, you're making enough money, you are growth-minded, where you need financial advice. You need a C-suite executive on your team, just not full-time. So I come in, I basically do advisory work, and where we focus for fractional CFO work is the path forward. We understand our numbers, where we have been, the bookkeeping is done, the tax compliance is done, but we're truly looking at what are your goals? How do we get there? And for me, as soon as I understood that this world existed, it felt right. I prayed on it. It was, this is where you need to be. Using that expertise I got for 20 years in public accounting, serving multi-billion dollar. I mean, we're talking big name corporations, taking that expertise and being able to truly provide the expertise on a smaller scale to people who really can create impact in communities with hiring people or even meeting their goals, right? You can meet a client that says, Lauren, I want to contribute more to my church every month. And that's, here's the dollar amount I want it to be. How do I get there? Right? I want to send my daughter to this private college and it's going to cost me this much. And here's how many years it's going to be. So it's being able to take goals of these CEOs, whether it's business or personal, and being able to help them make it happen.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we were talking in the pre-show that I have employed a fractional CFO for a long time. And not only in my business, but in different entities in Lauren and Maya's life, and referred her to, you know, just so many friends. So she's in this place. And the amount and level of trust that you have with, I can tell you're so trustworthy and you're not like a normal accountant or CPA because you have, I don't mean this to sound like this, but you have a great personality.
I won't take offense.
Well, a lot of CPAs and accountants just are so numbers based, but in your business as a fractional CFO, with your personality, you're getting companies who need someone to trust you.
Absolutely.
And you're hearing, you know, you're part counselor too, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's funny in our accounting world, we kind of call it the financial nakedness. It feels very intimate to reveal your finances to other people, right? It's a reflection of the choices you've made and whether they're good or bad, that like it's uncomfortable. Like, even if I said to both of you, like, let me see your credit card statement right now, you might be like, oh, that's a little cringy. Like, you're going to see everything I'm spending all my money on, you know, and like how many times I ate Uber Eats last week. So it's getting people to the point where they understand, like, there's no way to develop the path forward if you're not willing to share where you have been. Yes. And I think for me, especially with my personal story, I bring such a level of resilience and faith to, like, I promise I have seen worse. I have seen these big corporations. I've seen bankruptcies. I've seen botched transactions. I mean, I've always seen worse in terms of financial condition. And, like, again, we can only work together to develop the plan on the path forward if we're willing to look at it a little bit and change our habits. So agreed. It's about finding someone that you trust in your business that's going to give you good advice, because it does feel like an uncomfortable space for people to reveal their finances to others.
I speak at churches on finances a lot, and financial planning and pro formas. And I've determined that the hardest thing for people to talk about is their finances. You could talk about their sex life easier than you could talk about finances, because there's so much shame around what you just said. Like, oh, I had, you know, DoorDash 20 times this week. And whether or not, it's not a judgment, it's just a lifestyle. So one of the things that I do is I'll ask people to close their eyes and say, okay, how many people in here are not, either not making their personal budget, have extended credit card debt, or are having IRS problems? And it's always in the 95% of the people that raise their hands. And when I have people open their eyes, I'll say, okay, good news, 95% of you. So everyone that you're looking at basically is having the same issues you are. So there needs to be no shame around here.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you look at strained marriages, right, how often finances can be the generation of issues within a marriage that you're not on the same page with finances. They may not even have a budget. Yeah, exactly. That it's the fact that you're not even willing to talk to your partner about those things and, like, share and collaborate and work as a team. Like, it's a mindset thing. You have to let go. You have to let go.
Well, I'm going to go back into this a little bit, because I love all the things you're talking about. Because Bob and I, every time I think either one of us helps to consult somebody or coach somebody or help somebody, finances is one of the big things and center post of that discussion. And they usually need someone like you. They don't know that they need that all the time, because again, you can have your business degree and not really understand how to get support in the midst of what you're doing. And I think that I love what you do, because it's so supportive. And if you haven't had a CFO, you don't know what it's like to have a CFO. And so you're just powering through and trying to do all these decisions by yourself. But it's so powerful once you get to the place. If you're a small business, medium-sized business, and you actually have somebody helping you, I know Bob has helped us. I call him our honorary CFO, because he's helped us so many times. And just like, okay, here's how you got to think. And we're like, oh my God, you blew up my brain. I didn't even know that existed. So that what you're talking about is something, I think it's one of the missing ingredients that causes success in people, is that your company, you being who you are, is probably one of the biggest felt needs of what we've seen, Bob and I have seen, and what people need. But talk about this. So you launch your career, you have two little kids. You're like, okay, I'm going to go do this. Talk about when you first step out. Like, did you have contracts? Did you have people who were interested? Did you have to, like, sell yourself, or did it just all come? Like, talk about the God journey and the practical journey.
Yeah. So I take my entrepreneurial journey, and I truly believe that it is another test that the Lord's giving me on patience and surrender. So, to be honest, when my husband was really sick, being very disconnected from any connection from God, I thought I was in control of everything. I am very type A, right? I'm an accountant. I like numbers. I like things in order. I work hard. I want a certain result, right? For me, when he was sick, I thought I could love him healthy. I thought I could save him. And my world crumbled. Right? Like, I was not in control. The things that I feared came true, and I was still okay. I was still okay. And I will say, the practice of truly surrendering every day is still a conscious choice I have to make, that it is not natural after 40 years of not doing it. That for me, building my business was a test of patience and also priorities. For me, I was doing it on the side. So I was still working my 9-to-5. I was still single parenting, getting, wow. and I'm at every practice. I am doing every pickup. I am engaged, because when you are parenting grieving children, that is not the time to outsource and be disconnected, right? Yeah. It wasn't a time for me to just pile on. It was, okay, Lauren, you can spend time on this, but it's going to be limited, and it's not going to be jumping off the ground immediately. And that's okay. It's going to be in God's timing. Not, I made this decision all of a sudden, it's going to be, you know, off the charts. I've got a ton of clients. So it's been humbling to be able to work on it when I can and be okay with that. That has actually helped me to exercise that surrender every day of God's timing, and just remembering, like, be consistent, continue walking the path that He has lit for you, and you're going to get to the point where you want to.
Wow. That's a great answer. I think people sometimes, I think of our listeners, I hope they're hearing you. I hope they're hearing the authenticity of that. Cause it's like, this is the make it or break it season you just walked through. And you walked it with God in a way that was very transparent and real.
Yeah, I couldn't have done it on my own, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I say that to everyone. They look at me and they say, I don't understand. Like, especially in like the earlier days of grief where it was so heavy, like how you did it. And I didn't do it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You must have had an amazing community around you. And talk about that, because one of the things Sean and I really encourage people with is being in community where people who know and love you can help you through whatever the situation is.
Yeah. So for me, I'll say that got flipped a bit upside down. It was finding new community for me. Oh, wow. When you experience something that sets you apart from your existing community, and I'll just take even my girlfriends, for example, that haven't experienced the death of their spouse, it gets very hard to connect on a deeper level. Yeah. And also, to be honest, to tolerate like complaining about their husbands. I'm like, guys, I can't participate. So for me, it was finding a new community. And I will say a few things. One has been fellow widows has been such a huge thing. There are unfortunately a lot of young widows, and to be able to have other adults that are experiencing the same things, especially as it relates to parenting, has been such a big blessing, right? That like the things that I'm going through, the phone calls I'm getting from school, the reactions I'm having from my children are the same things that they're experiencing as well. So be able to share and be in community with other widows has been life-changing for me. That's one. Two, actually, as it relates to the kids, finding community for them too. I will say it is where adults don't know what to say in grief, right? Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, or like awkwardly respond. The exact same thing happens in second grade, I will tell you right now. Other kids, when my son shows up and says, my dad is dead, and not one other child in his class has experienced the same things, they don't know what to say. So taking my children to family grief group where they have peers that have experienced loss as well has been such a game changer for them to be able to freely talk about it and not feel that uncomfortableness from other people in terms of their reaction. Because it's either they get really uncomfortable and freeze up, or like change the subject, which makes it feel like my feelings don't matter when you're seven and your dad is dead. Right. So for me, being able to bring them into a community where they feel like they belong, like it's just home to them. The way these kids interact with each other, even the way my kids play is different than other kids sometimes. So those are two big ones. And finally, I'll say, as it relates to business, being connected with other Christian entrepreneurs has been such a game changer, such a game changer, right? Like people that just speak your language, they understand stewardship and tithing and all the goals that you want to build into your business, your priorities, your values are more closely aligned with these people. It's not so cutthroat, right? It's how are you going to treat your people, and how are you going, you know, how do you deal with issues? And it's just a different lens. So be able to be part of community with other Christian entrepreneurs has been a big one. And I'll say for me personally, specific to that, I've been part of Wealthy Kingdom, which is Ryan Pineda's group. There's Bible studies. It's been amazing. There's Bible studies. The community is growing. He is so bold in how he talks about his faith, and it's so refreshing. So it was just like an easy yes for me when that opportunity came to join the group.
Oh, I love that so much. Well, I mean, I think you just gave some of the biggest keys, and I think it's so funny because most people in tragedy will isolate or out of pain, they'll find a group, but it's like, they're just so victimized by what happened that it's like hard for them to contribute to. I love what you're saying as a Christian. There's something inside of us that goes, this isn't my end. This isn't my children's end. That God, you are good still. And it causes us to seek help differently. I think so when someone's normally grieving, when you're grieving with God, knowing that he's going to, Romans 8:28, turn it for good. It's going to serve you somehow, even though it was so hard. How are you going to make a good God? It's almost like waiting for the end of the movie to come. Like there's a plot twist that I won't even understand. And I love how you articulated that you pressed into relationship. And that's exactly what Bob and I, we try and bring up on the show, because I think people need to hear, like, you're never alone. You never really are. Elijah felt alone in the wilderness, but then the God says, there's hundreds of other prophets right over there. Go spend time with them. And it's like, oh my gosh, I thought it was a big deal. You know, like I thought what I was going through was isolated to one person. So I love that you're sharing what you're sharing. Now, on your business, I want our listeners, because there's some people who are listening right now or watching right now on YouTube, and they're going, I need her services. Is it really possible for me? Tell us what you offer. And like, you got to wrap this up, but tell us what you offer. I think it's so important for people. There's going to be some people who have the courage to get you as their fractional CFO because they need it right now. And they're not going to grow where they want to grow the goals that they have if they don't get somebody, if they don't have this courage.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say, to have recurring regular CFO services, your business does have to be of a certain size. So just math doesn't math if you're not making a certain amount of money that you're willing to pay someone to come in and help you with your business. So I'll say the sweet spot for recurring fractional CFO work typically is to be making at least $2.5 million of revenue, anywhere to like multiple eight figures. Then you kind of grow out of fractional into full-time CFO. And it may happen before then, who knows? But I will say, it's not the only way to get connected with a fractional CFO. I do one-time services as well, coming in to help analyze your financials, give you action plans, build out cash flow forecasts. We talked about performance, like the path forward and like where your business is going, how much cash reserve you have. It's investing time to be able to build that out. And then it's on you to execute. I will say the advantage of doing recurring services, if you're in that bucket I talked about, is accountability, because that's another big one. Mm-hmm. Is having someone involved in your business that's not doing the day-to-day, that is going to have regular touch points with you, whether it's every 2 weeks or every month, and saying, we talked last time about you actioning these three things. Did they get done? I'm showing you your numbers. You cannot avoid them anymore. I have my dashboard. We're talking about margins. We're talking about sales. We're talking about OpEx. So like, you can't hide from it. So I want to say, like, the accountability that having someone engage regularly brings when people don't want to look at numbers is exactly why you should have a fractional CFO. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, Lauren, how do our listeners and viewers get a hold of you?
Yeah. So I would say the two best spots to get me is on my website. I have a contact form. So it's www.unconventional-cfo.com. And also you can find me on Instagram and always send me a DM. I'm happy to connect. My handle is Lauren_Furtado_CFO.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for being with us today. And I know many of you are watching or listening. You're in this place where you know God wants to grow you and give you tools in your life. And it's just awesome to hear that someone like Lauren has been raised up to be a tool for the body of Christ, but also for the moving forward of these things, these projects, these babies that we have inside of us, these businesses that we're stewarding. And that God's raising up people right now to be great support systems for those things. Lauren, your story was amazing. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Be a part of by asking your question at bowlsministries.com or in the comments where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlsministries.com, where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.